Okay. As I'll say that Godel Talmud Shemegel De Maisa, one of the great properties of Limud Torah is, not only is it great in and of itself, but it enhances the person's Shmiras HaMitzvahs. So one can understand this in one of two ways. Either you can understand it in a practical sense, that means if you learn Halacha, so then inevitably your Shmiras HaMitzvahs is going to be better. That's where the Chometz Chaim takes it in his Akdamah to Hilchah Shabbos in the beginning of Chelek Gimel Mishnebura. So the Chometz Chaim elaborates upon why it's so important for a person to learn Hilchah Shabbos, because it is almost impossible for a person to observe the intricacies of Shabbos properly without being proficient in the Halachas of Shabbos. But then there's a second level of interpretation, which is also true. When a person spends time on something, a person is konus in chelik of Torah, so that it impacts on his shmiras and mitzvahs in a less literal sense, but more of a general machshava type of a sense. And a mashal about the Vedomer, I know that the years, let's say, when the yeshiva learned Maseches Pesachim, so that Pesach was a different kind of Pesach. Last year, the yeshiva learned Sukkot, you sit down, you spend the whole year learning Sukkot and Dalmidim, so you come to the Sukkot, come to that, it's a different mitzvah, it's a different whole, different chalashem, and it's such a different meaning when you spend a lot of time with a particular mitzvah. So I think that's also true when it comes to Hilchah Shabbos. That if a person spends a lot of time learning the sukkahs of Hilchah Shabbos, it's a different Shabbos. Not just it's a different Shabbos, literally, technically, that you'll be less nishal in Yisurim on Shabbos. It's a whole different love, a whole different desire, a whole different mindset and experience of Shabbos. So I think that's an important, really, hakdama when we begin to learn Hilchah Shabbos, that we're really attempting both of these goals. That's, number one, enhance Hashmir Shabbos in terms of literally, getting a better grasp on the halachas of Shabbos. And number two, just getting a better appreciation in terms of the whole picture of Shabbos as well. So we'll just set out very, very quickly what our goals are for the next X amount of time. We'll see how long that X is. But basically, when we learn Maseches Shabbos, so we're going to try to do it along the similar style that we did it several times in Yeshiva. We did this, I think Eliezer was with us. Were you with us the first time we did it? How many years ago did we get that? 14 years ago, okay. So we learned it in Yeshiva 14 years ago. We learned it, Al-Seyidus Lamites Melochas. Rather than learning it in terms of going in order to Masechta, because Maseches Shabbos is the hardest Masechta to go in terms of order. We went to Seder Lamites Melochas. I think we began at the beginning. We ended up at the end. We pretty much did all 39 Melochas. Give or take a couple of the weaving Melochas that nobody knows what they are anyway. But for the most part, I'd say about 35 out of 39 or so we actually did do. Then we repeated it several years later. I think it was about 4 or 5 years ago, so in Yeshiva, when we learned it a second time, it was also similar style, a little different shurim, things in the Chadish over 10 years, but pretty much the same kind of a style. And we did it again in B'nai Shurim, we did it in the Kol HaBokher a couple of years ago also. So just to give everybody, I don't want to scare anybody away, but in terms of a time frame, so in Yeshiva, took us an entire year at five days a week, with guys going morning, Seder, 3 hours a day, preparing and shir an hour and 15 minutes, 5 days a week. So that took us a year to do each time. Shurim, it took us about 2 years plus at the rate of 3 days a week for 40 minutes. So, and you can do the math yourselves, but to project the time of conclusion of this project is. So we'll see how things are going. People talk a little faster, but we'll see what happens. But as long as the donuts are going, hopefully we're still going. So hopefully Mr. Shem will try to plug away. It's a big project, it's a large project, it's an ambition project, but I think Baruch Hashem, it'll hopefully be a very, very wonderful limud together. When we begin to learn Maseches Shabbos, so obviously we're going to begin with the Malachas. And the question is, well, which is the first Malacha? So believe it or not, we just reached our first Machlekes. So the Machlekes, which is the first Malacha? Everybody agrees to which the 39 Malachas are, but it's not exactly clear what the order of the Malachas is. There is a Machlekes between the two different sources in the Gemara itself, whether the first Malacha is Chayresh, or whether the first Malacha is Reyes. So we're going to go Keseda Malachas, we've got to figure out which Malacha we're going to be learning first. So which is the first Malacha? Is it choresh? Is it plowing? Or is it zereh? Is it planting? So since most of us probably have no idea how to either plant or to plow, so we'll throw out a question for agricultural experts. What comes first? You plow before you plant. I'm not expecting most people to know the answer to that question. But yeah, what do you think? Plow, very good, excellent. Okay, if you try to plant without plowing, you're not going to succeed. So you first have to soften up, you have to work the ground a little bit, soften up the ground a little bit. That's what plowing is. And then eventually you plant. So why should there be any question as to what the Seder Malachas is? Isn't it obvious that it's Chayrish? So the Mishnah in Maseches Shabbos, Nefayim Gimel, which is the source of the Lamedes Malachas, actually begins with Zereya before Chayrish. And the Gemara raises the question, why does it do that? The Gemara says the reason why it does that is because in Eretz Yisrael, the soil was such that actually there were two different stages of plowing. They would, of course, plow before they would plant. That was not negotiable. But then in Eretz Yisrael, the way the quality of the soil was, they had to re-plow a second time around. After they would put the seed into the ground, they would have to again soften the ground to get it to take properly. And the chiddush of the Mishnah is that even that second plowing, which is not the significant part, not the main part of plowing, even that's considered to be a melacha. And therefore, the Mishnah went out of its way to dafka reverse the order. The Mishnah said it goes Zareya first and then Choresh to teach us the chiddush that Choresh is also considered to be, the second Choresh is also considered to be an act of Choresh. In Bavel, where apparently the quality of the soil was a little bit different, that second plowing was not necessary. And therefore, when the Chachma Bavel had the tradition as to what the Lamed Tes Malachas were, so they counted off the Malachas as being Choresh Zareya. So in Eretz Yisrael, the Minig was Zareya Choresh, and Bavel, the Minig was Choresh Zareya. At the end of the day, everyone learned all the Malachas, and it doesn't make much of a difference, but there were two different camps, so to speak, as to what the state of Malachas are. So now the question we have to pose to ourselves is, which one should we do? Which state should we do? So we follow the Bnei Bavel, but in Amrin Hagim, so very often Amrin Hagim and Tefillah, we follow the Bnei Bavel, the other hand, leaving by Mizrach person should feel that they cross their as well. So which one should we do? So this Machlek is two different years when we learned Malachas in Yeshiva. One year we did, I think Eliezer's year, I think we did Choresh first, right? You got according to your notes, got Choresh first, and the later years I figure we'll become a little bit more Zionistic, we'll go Zareah first, so that's what we did. So I guess I mellowed in my old age, I don't know it is, so we decided we're going to be, I'm just kidding about that, that was off the record, that was just a joke, nothing else. So we still say the tefillah here, everyone should be, don't worry about it, we're still good. So we decided we're going to do Zareah first, so why not? That was the minute last time around, so we'll follow with the last minute close, and we'll start with Zareah. That's going to be the beginning, where we're going to begin with the Shabbos. So when we begin to speak about the Malacha of Zareah, most of us don't think about Zareah as the most common thing that we do. You would think, when you think of the Shabbos, think about driving cars and cooking and writing and laundry, those kinds of stuff. Most of us don't think about Zareah, but believe it or not, there are many, many very, very real Lamaisa applications of Zareah that do come up for us. We have to understand the sugyas a little bit better and get a little bit of the background of the sugyas in order to understand what the Lamaisa applications are. As a general note, when we learn Hilchos Shabbos, so it's really important to note that there are almost like three different parts that we're going to do. We're going to, on the one hand, learn the lumdus of each particular malacha. So each malacha really is a world in and of itself. So to understand the lumdus, the mechanics, the parameters of each particular malacha. Then to understand how malachas relate to one another, which involves many of the klala, many of the general rules of malacha. Adoshim miskaven, imsigracious, machshas yogufas, makalkel, those kinds of things. That's a whole other part of the limud. And then once you understand the background of each particular malacha, you understand how malachas into play with one another, then you can begin to draw some malachic conclusions. So probably everything we're going to be doing for the next X amount of time is going to be one of those three types of things. Sometimes we'll be spending more time on the intricacies of one malacha. Sometimes we'll be talking more in general terms about rules of Hilchos Shabbos. And sometimes we're going to be talking literally on facts on the ground about what's also what's mutter, etc. So it's going to be a little bit of a mixture of all of the above. So when we begin to discuss the Malacha of Zareah, we have to first come up with a very, very basic definition. It's always important to define the essence of any given Malacha. So let's see if we can define in a very, very succinct, clear way what the Malacha of Zareah is. So let's see if we can get some help. So I'm a young man, I don't want to tell us what it means to plant. If you had to like describe planting in one sentence, how would you do that? You guys seem to know about planting, no? Not so much. Okay. So planting, basically, I would say as follows. You place a seed in the ground for the purpose of that seed to grow. I think that's pretty much a definition, a bare-bone definition of what the Malacha Zareah is. The placing of a seed into the ground. So there's one word here that I'm going to highlight, which is really going to begin the first sugya that we're going to discuss, and that, what role exactly does the ground really truly have in Malacha Zareah? Just how important is the ground in Malacha Zareah? Now, Zareah, as we said, is the first of the series of malachas that involve agriculture. It's the plowing, the planting, the harvesting, etc. We call the malachas akarka, malachas that in olden days were very, very, very preferable, almost literally the bread and butter of the Shabbos. In today's world, we're a little bit less agriculture, so we do have Zareah, we do have We do have backyards, but we do have vegetable patches, and we do have other things that touch upon the Zereya. But for us, you know, Hilchos Shabbos is a little bit out of the ground. The olden days, so Hilchos Shabbos was very, very much ground-oriented. I was so excited yesterday, because I was taking a walk yesterday afternoon, and I passed by one of the non-Jews down the block, and they were planting something in their front lawn. I was so excited. I was ready to give him a hug, to thank them for being able to see Hilchos Zereya, to be able to say, Baruch Lokenish Ron Lechvaldo, that Baruch Hashem we're not planting today. And I was ready to give them a big yeshikarach because they were not in violation of the Isser of Lo Yishbosu, which we spoke about yesterday. Akum, I think they were Jewish. And in Akum was not allowed to be Shoveh, so Baruch Hashem, they were doing a real Melechas Akarach and a real Makor. So what exactly is the role, or lack thereof, of the ground in terms of the Melacha of Zereya? So we initially define Melacha Zereya as placing a seed, or placing something into the ground. So comes the Rambam in the Chashavas and downplays the role of the ground in terms of the Melacha. The Rambam describes another application of Melacha Zereya, of a person who takes seed, takes plants or something, and puts them into water. Hashora as zera chitim, a person soaks chitim, hashora as chitim b'mayim. Says the Rambam, that is an outright Torah violation of zereya. So even though there's no soil, there's no dirt, there's no ground, there's no agriculture in that sense of the word, just the mere fact that you're putting something into the water for the purpose of growing, that is considered to be a malach in your ice ones, chavskiv, akar, ischatas, the works for that action on Shabbos, even though there is no ground present. So just shora b'sochamayim is a problem. However, the Acharonim point out that the Lashon of Rambam is a little bit of a strange one, because when the Rambam describes the quote-unquote planting in water, the Rambam does not say hanosin esachitim b'sochamayim. The Rambam doesn't say you just simply drop a seed in the water, but rather hashore. The word shore, shriya, means to soak. Gives off the connotation of that it's there for a significant amount of time. And this raises a little bit of a red flag in the Rambam, what exactly the Rambam meant by that, by saying that it has to be there for a while. We usually think of the Malach of Zereya as I take a seed and I drop it into the ground, that's it, and I'm done. I don't have to sit around and wait. I'm chayav right away. The basin catches me, I'm chayav, skila, karis, chatas, right away. Here the Rambam gives off that indication that it's there for a while, but I have to be sure it is. The Rambam seems to imply that if I would take a grain and put it into water, then immediately yank it out, it sounds like the Rambam that I didn't violate the Malacha of Zereya. So what is the significance of that phrase? What is the significance of that idea that I have to leave the seed there for a significant amount of time in order to be chayiv? So it's a little bit unclear what the Rambam is writing here. So the Acharonim are sensitive to this Lashon HaRambam. The truth is, the Acharonim didn't even have access to a Tshuvas HaRambam, but the Rambam himself makes mention of this, and the Rambam himself makes the point of saying that you're only chayiv if it's really there for a significant amount of time, and the question is, where does that come from? So those who are interested in this Tshuvas HaRambam,
as we said in the definition, right? For that seed to grow.
For that seed to grow. Okay, so I'm going to be very, very careful in what I say for that seed to grow. What would the halacha be if I planted, I put a seed into the ground and then I pulled it out before it had a chance to grow? Would I be chayiv or not? So that's going to open up our shot.
What is exactly grow by itself?
Oh, okay, very excellent. So that is exactly what we're going to do. This is going to be the opening discussion. We're going to define those who are interested in reading the Tshuvas HaRambam, so it's actually available in two different texts. One is the Arabic text and one is the Hebrew text. So if you take a look in the back of the Franco Rambams, so they quote you the original Arabic version of this Tshuvas HaRambam, and then for all of us whose Arabic is not as proficient as it should be, or could be, so they give you the Hebrew translation as well. So last night, I was showing it to Mary Yachov yesterday, I was reading him the Tshuva in Arabic, and I read something about, like, wah, 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 it sounds like something you hear in the Shuk, so anyway, but then they gave us the Hebrew translation. Okay. So the question is, what exactly does this Rambam mean? So the answer to this Rambam is really a fundamental, basic question that touches on Melacha Zereya, but it's a perfect example of what we mentioned a moment ago, that we cannot just learn Melacha Zereya in vacuum. We have to look at Melacha Zereya and see how it impacts and is affected by other Melachas as well. Melacha Zereya is a very, very funny kind of a Melacha, because unlike most Melachas in Shabbos, most Melachas happen immediately, and it's over and done, it's history. It's emotional. A person writes on Shabbos. Take a pen, and I write my name on Shabbos. I just violated the Melacha Zereya, and there's no delayed reaction in what just happened. Or let's say, for example, I have a stain in my shirt, so I take some water, and I take out the stain, so I just violated the Melacha Zereya of Mechabes Malavim. There's no delayed reaction. Every once in a while, we find the malacha that I do a human input into the malacha, and it takes a while for the result to really be apparent. So there are two malachas that come to mind that seem to follow this kind of a model. One is the malacha of Zireya, and the other parallel malacha is the malacha of Bishul. Hopefully, as the weeks and months go on, we're going to spend a lot of time in Bishul. But this particular point concerning Bishul, the malacha of cooking, also baking, cooking, the same malacha, also is a strange malacha, because when I put something onto the fire, so I take a raw egg, and I drop it into a pot of water, and now the fire is on, and at what point did I violate Bishul? So I did my action, and now I go to sleep. And the egg is cooking and cooking and cooking, and eventually the egg reaches the point where it's halakhli cooked, whatever that definition of halakhli cooked is, but it happens by itself. It reaches that point of demarcation of Bishul all by itself. And that's a tricky kind of a malacha, because I did a maaseh, I put the egg onto the fire. On the other hand, the bishul proper happens at a later point, which is really parallel to zereya, the planting, because I drop a seed into the ground, but as Josh said, Krech, nothing really happened. It didn't grow yet. It didn't have any change yet. Nothing happened. What is that magic point in terms of bishul, and what is that magic point in terms of planting? So the magic time in terms of bishul is what we call maichel ben drusoi. Once the food is edible partially, let's say for example a piece of meat, take a piece of meat and throw it onto the barbecue. So if nothing happens, it never reaches the point of any kind of a barbecuing, that's not called bishul. But if it reaches the point where it's nechol k'maichel ben drusoi, it's a third way cooked, a halfway cooked, people could eat it if they were really, really stuck in a rush, so that's considered to be bishul. So it takes a little bit of time. I don't know, I'm not an expert of barbecues, but how long does that take? You take a piece of raw meat, throw it onto a grill, how long does it take until it reaches a half, third?
Medium rare, 4 minutes, I'm sorry.
that's what I need. Good expertise. Sometimes in yeshiva, so we're not advocating this yet, but sometimes in yeshiva, I'll say some kind of a comment that I need some tzias for. So I have one or two tamidim who I trust to quickly check online what the answer to that tzias is. I don't like everybody to be doing that, because then I have no idea what anyone's doing in yeshiva, what other research they're doing or not doing. But here, Baruch Hashem, we don't even need to research. We got all the information at our fingertips. So a person takes a piece of raw meat and throws it onto the grill, and it takes 4 minutes to the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos that if somebody would yank that meat off the grill before it reaches Machmen, so it would not be chayav, because the malacha never reached fruition. So we know what the magic point of Bishul is, Machmen Yusuf. We know what the parallel magic point of Zaria is what's called Hashrasha. Hashrasha means when something takes root. How long does it take for the seeds to take root? How long does it take? See, who knows this. How long does it take when I plant some wheat? How long does it take for the wheat to take root? Anyone have any idea? No clue? Please don't check. Anyone know how long it takes for the wheat to take root? So it's actually machlokes in the Gemara. Depending on how exactly you define what's called taking root. According to one opinion, it's 3 days. According to the other opinion, it's 2 weeks. Anyone know what the major significant nafkamina halacha of that machlokes is? There's one area of halacha that we care about how long things take root for. That's the guy with the halachas of chadash. Because halacha is that if grain was planted before the second day of Pesach, so if it took root before the second day of Pesach, then it's by definition going to be yashan. If it didn't yet take root, then by definition it's going to be chadash. Now, okay, whether that's important or not, chutzlah is a different story, but that's the definition, the basic definition of yashan and chadash. So if something took root before the second day of Pesach, that's important for us to know. How long does it take? So we have to take root, so that's a big machlokes. So 3 days or 2 weeks, again, those 11 days can make all the difference in the world, because that's exactly when the planting season is in America. It's right around Pesach time. So depending on how late Pesach is, depending on how late the planting was, that could be a pivotal discussion in terms of just how much grain on the market is chadash or is yashin. So again, so that's an important piece of information, other areas of malacha as well. So hashrasha is the key point in terms of the malacha zureya, but hashrasha doesn't happen right away. I throw something into the ground, and it takes a little bit of time delay until it reaches the point of Ashrasha. So you have these two strange malachas that I do in action now, and it takes a while for the malacha to reach fruition. I want to raise the following shadow. When it comes to malachas bishul, I know for a fact that if I pull that meat off of the grill before it reaches the time of being also before my Machmen Desoy, I'm not chayav. That's explicit Gemara and Shabbos Daf Dalet. I can stop the process in the middle. What about malachas zereya? Can malachas zereya be stopped in the middle of the night? Person by mistake threw in some seeds into the ground, and then he realizes, oy, 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 before Ashrasha happens, so he immediately yanks out those seeds. Did he violate Malachas Zereya, or did he not violate Malachas Zereya? Is that analogous to the person who pulled the meat off the grill, or is that different from the person who pulled the meat off the grill? So the Rashash, in his comments in the Mishnah, in the Shabbos, Nevi'im Gimel says, it is identical to the case of the meat of the grill, and just as if you pull the meat off, you're not going to be chayev, because the malacha never reached fruition, so too, if you locked out and yanked the seeds out before they reached Hashrasha, you would also not be chayev. So you see that the Rashash is understanding that this is a din that's permeated already, multiple malachas. This is Bishul's array, it's all the same thing. There's an action, there's a time delay, and if you can stop the process before you reach that point of no return, so then you will in fact not be chayev. But there is something very, very strange.
Just in that case, so if one planted on Shabbos...
Oh, okay, very, very excellent. Okay, so something is very, very strange, because when a person puts meat on the fire on, let's say, Shabbos morning, it takes 4 minutes for it to cook, so the 4 minutes took place on Shabbos. When a person puts a seed into the ground on Shabbos morning, it takes 3 days or 2 weeks for it to happen. So it's going to happen not necessarily on Shabbos. So how in the world is a person going to be chayav for a zareah? If you're telling me, like the Rashash said, that everything is really violated at the later point, so why in the world does it happen if a person ever be chayav for zareah? If the malacha happens, in effect, after Shabbos is over. So it comes to Rashash and says, the answer to this riddle must be that even though the malacha doesn't really reach fruition until later, it must be that once the result happens, then the halacha declares retroactively, it goes back to the original moment that you actually did your ma'aseh. So you have a time delay malacha to be determined whether you're chayav. So when I plan something at Shabbos morning at 8 o'clock, I don't know whether the person is going to be chayav or not, because in the next 3 days or 2 weeks, somebody may yank it out of the ground, do him a favor. But if nobody yanks it out of the ground, then he gloy milsalim afreya, turns out retroactively that he violated the malach of zireya, and that is the same is true when it comes to malach of bishul. It's identical with the malach of bishul. But what do we learn from malach of zireya, says the Rashash? That the fruition, the point of no return, need not take place on Shabbos itself. There's no need, there's no requirement for that hashrasha to happen on Shabbos, and quite frankly, says Rashash, it's never going to happen on Shabbos. It is physically impossible for it to happen on Shabbos. And since it's physically impossible for it to happen on Shabbos, and you're still chayev, you see from here that when you have these time-delayed melachas, retroactively you become chayev, even though the point of critical moment didn't take place on Shabbos.
At what point did
Oh, very good. Excellent. The Eidim can only see at the time that he actually puts the thing into the ground, but the Eidim have to, but someone's got to keep a, they can only give him a warning at the time that he puts it into the ground, but someone's got to keep track of his plan for the next 2 weeks. If somebody was a nice guy, they would actually pull it out of the ground and try to save him. But if nobody wants to be so nice to this guy, so then don't let, leave him there.
If they even see it, like, let's say 3 days later, starting to grow, could they assume that?
No, they couldn't do that because they have to warn it. They have to give him a surah at the time that he's doing the aveir. They have to give a warning when it's growing. Okay, good, very good question.
Does the same thing hold true
for Bishul? Excellent. So it comes to Rashash and says, since we just made an equation, I had a block over there, I made an equation. Bishul equals Zareah. There's a time delay mechanism in these malachas. Just as when it comes to Zareah, it doesn't matter when it reaches Hashrasha. As long as it eventually reaches Hashrasha, then it goes back retroactively to the time of planting. The same identical thing is true when it comes to Bishul. And therefore the Rashash says, what would the din be if a person puts food up on the fire a minute before Shkia? Right before Shabbos, he puts up, what's that malach malach? So he puts up a raw cholent right before Shabbos. So the Rashash says, he's going to be chayav. When is he going to be chayav? When the cholent makes at 11 o'clock at night, when it reaches Machab and Drusoy, then he gloy milsalim afreya that he didn't act on Shabbos, and he's going to be chayav skila for that act of chol Shabbos. According to the Rashash, Zareya and Bishul are identical to one another. The action is done now, the result takes place later, then it shoots back retroactively. You could stop either one dead in its tracks, and if you didn't stop it, so then it doesn't matter when the actual fruition was reached. Comes the Minchas Chinuch and disagrees strongly with this Rashash. Comes the Minchas Chinuch and says that Malachas Zireya is radically different than Malachas Bishul for the following very simple reason. Says the Minchas Chinuch, Zireya is impossible any other way. There is no way to violate Zireya on Shabbos proper, because there's no way if you place a seed into the ground that it's going to grow on Shabbos. Loss of level, the Gemara says, people are going to plant, it's going to grow in 5 minutes. But in the way the world plays out now, so you put a plant into the ground, put a seed into the ground, nothing is going to happen. take a look at Malach Malka time, nothing happened, nothing changed. There's no Hashrasha, zero, zippo. So how could the Torah ever give us the Malach of Zerah? When Hashbrach gave Moshe Rabbeinu the Lamatis Malachas, so we handed him Rabbi Ribiat Sefer, Rabbi Baruch Chait's picture book with the Lamatis Malachas, and the Malachas says Zerah. How could you be Chayef for Zerah? It never happens. So the answer is, says the Mechas Chinuch, Zerah is the core, Zerah is the Yetzim, and it's the exception to the rule. And Kach Chitzatzer, Chayef was Mechadesh, that you could be Chayef for Zerah right away, even if it never reaches fruition. And says the Mechas Chinuch, if you put a seed into the ground, even if you yank it out a second later, you're still Chayef. He says it's no different than imagine if a person writes two letters and then they quickly erase the two letters. So guess what? They violated Kofsev and they violated Mochek. You can't undo a Malacha, says the Mechas Chinuch. It's like someone from a little kid. If by mistake you turn a light on a Shabbos, what do you do? So you turn on the light and go, shh, you saw. So you can't do that. That wasn't to tell you to do that. You're not allowed to do that. He said you can't undo a Malacha, says the Mechas Chinuch. Once you violate Malacha's array, it's over. It's done. It's history. Bishul is a different story. Bishul is a time-released malach. Bishul, you could potentially undo. But Zareya, you can't undo Zareya. There's no way to undo Zareya. So therefore, says Mechas Chinuch, just because Zareya Yechaya, even though Hashrasha happens later, because Hashrasha doesn't interest us when it comes to Zareya. Hashrasha is meaningless. It's irrelevant when it comes to Zareya. The only thing that matters is our original definition. You put a seed into the ground. That's it. I don't care whether it's sprouted, flourished, whether it's growing and rooting. Irrelevant. Placing a seed into the ground is malacha d'iraisa of Zerea. Bishul, the malacha bishul, says Mechas Chinuch, is that you cook the food and it reached the point of Meichel Ben Drusoy. If it reaches Meichel Ben Drusoy after Shabbos is over, says Mechas Chinuch, Yipater, because bishul is a time, long time release malacha, and it has to take place on Shabbos itself. You cannot extrapolate from Zireya. You can't say, well, if Zireya happens after Shabbos, and Chayef Bishul also, it's not true. The two malachas are radically different from one another. So we have two major, major different ways of approaching the ABCs of malachas of Zireya. According to the Rishash, Zireya is identical to Bishul. You do your action, we wait for the result, and when the result happens, then we say retroactively Yechayef. According to Bechasid, we're not waiting for any result. No result ever happened. You put a seed into the ground, Yechayef Skila right then and there. We'll take it to the base of Skila before it takes root. It doesn't matter whether somebody did you a tov and pulled the seed out. Once you place a seed in the ground, it's over. History, that is Malach Zareya.
Does he say that by Zareya or
by Bishul? Oh, you want to know where this piece is? He has it by Zareya, then he has it again in Mitzvah Reish Tzadiches. He has it by Yom Tov. He has it a few places, the same Yisayid. So he has it by Masach Shabbos, he has it by Zareya, and then he has it later on as well. So I'll call Bonin, just a
Is the Hashrasa part of the Zareya? I mean, there's one Chayef for the
Hashrasa. Oh, you're ready. Ten steps ahead of us, okay? So this is all the introduction. We're just trying to understand the Rambam. We're trying to understand the Rambam was the one who told us that Zareya can take place out of soil, in water, but then the Rambam threw a curveball us in this Arabic truth and said, if it stayed in the water long enough. So we have to understand why is that a factor. Before we can understand this Rambam, we have to understand the ABCs of how Zareya itself works. If we want to touch this up a little bit more fancy alumdus, so another important factor when you learn Hilchos Shabbos is there are many, many definitions in Hilchos Shabbos. Very often we have to define a malacha precisely. So we have to define what the word Zareya means, what the word Chayrish means, what the word Ketza means, what the word Bishul means, Moses means Shachar, etc. And very often you have to turn to other areas of halacha to get a better picture what a precise halachic term is. Sometimes the definition of Shabbos will be identical to other areas of halacha, and sometimes it will be radically different. It's all part of the limit of the Shabbos to be able to figure out how Shabbos interrelates to Kol HaTorah Kula. So this is a classic example of what we're going to do hopefully many, many times over throughout the course of this limud. We take the concept of Zareya, and we have this idea to bounce it around now as to what role Hashrasha plays in terms of defining Zareya. Well, let's look at other areas of Zareya. This is not the only time Zareya plays a role in Halacha. There are other aspects of Zareya and other areas of Halacha. So one of the areas of Halacha of Zareya is the Isser of Kilayim. Lo Sizrak Karmach or Kilayim. One is not permitted to plant Kilayim or carrot. You're not allowed to take wheat and barley and grapes and make it together as a whole mixture. You're not allowed to do that. Lo Sizrak Karmach or Kilayim. Not only are you not allowed to be Zareya Kilayim, but if you're Zareya Kilayim, then there's a resulting problem. The Kilayim becomes Asav Yachila Uvahanah. That's what's called Kilayakerem, or Asav Hanah. If you plant wheat, barley, and grapes together, it's not going to grow a new plant. It's not going to look any different. It's going to be wheat, barley, and grapes. But those wheat, barley, and grapes are now also be achila uva hanoi. You're not allowed to derive benefit from them on the level of their rice. So the Sefer Achinuch has a fascinating comment when he discusses the mitzvah of kilayim. So Sefer Achinuch writes that when we're dealing with the violation of planting kilayim, the malchus for lo sizucha kamcha kilayim, so Sefer Achinuch writes, you violate lo sizucha kamcha kilayim just from the fact that you put it into the ground. You take wheat, barley, and grapes and throw it into a hole in the ground, that's it, finished, you're done, your history, you chayim malchus, you violate lo sizucha kamcha kilayim. However, says the Sefer Achinuch, it doesn't become osab hanoah until, guess what, until it reaches ashrasha, until it actually takes root. Very, very strange thing. The Marav Shach almost. If you're telling me that Zuriya means just throwing into the ground, similar to the Chaschinuch style, so then why do I have to wait until it takes root? I did Zuriya's Kilayim, so the Issa should carry over. If you tell me that Hashrasha plays a role, so why doesn't Hashrasha play a role vis-a-vis the original Issa, vis-a-vis the Malchus as well? So it's a very, very strange Hagdar, very, very strange definition of the Sefer Chinuch, that we ask the Lom Tzashayim, what is Zuriya? Is Zuriya placing in the ground? Is Zuriya causing it to take root? So the Sefer Chinuch says, depends. So Lom the Shaderet. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. What's the Hagdar? What's the difference? So if you want to put some Shivusha Lom the Shalingo to this, you can differentiate between a Gavra and a Heftza. Namely, when you're being done in terms of the Gavra do an act, did the person do an act of Zuriya? The answer is yes. You are a Zuriya, but the item that you were Zuriya wasn't Nizra yet. Now, if you want, that's fancy. That's like walking a tightrope. Those are the kind of lumpish tightropes you sometimes fall off the edge, off the cliff. So the answer is that mitam ha-gavra, you violated Zuriya, but mitam the chefza did not yet become a davar ha-nizra until it reaches the point of ashrasha. What in the world would the source of such a wild distinction be? It sounds like we made it up. What's the answer? So there's a Ramban, Alatayr, Fashis Kisaytse, that says it's mamish pshuto shomikro the pasuk. It's mamish explicitly in the Chumash itself. This lomdish distinction between Gav and Chavza. Says the Ramban, read the pasuk in Chumash, lo sizucha karmacha kilayim. Don't plant your vineyard with kilayim. Why? Because if you do so, so then it may become also be achila, also be anop, and tiktash, losh, and the tuberation, they have to be destroyed. How do you translate that pasuk? Simple art scroll translation. Don't plant kilayim. Ten tikdash. What does the word ten mean? The Ramban says that the word ten means different things in different places, but very often the word ten means perhaps. In a negative way, it may become kilayim. What do you mean it may become kilayim? The Torah just said, lo sizcha karmacha kilayim, because you just made kilayim. What does the Torah leave it up to? It's a possibility, it may become kilayim. So the Ramban says, mamash adrecha pshat in the pasuk, lo sizcha karmacha kilayim. You as a gavra, talking to the person, don't you dare and place that kilayim into the ground together, even though nothing happened yet. It didn't become kilayim. But you did an issur. You did a ma'aseh. And now, what may happen? Ten tikdash, because there's a possibility that it may become osur. At what point will it become osur? There must be some later point where it's going to become real bona fide kilayim. It's at the chefza. What is that later point? Obviously, hashrasha. It may reach the point of hashrasha. It may take root. And once it takes root, then it becomes osur b'achilu v'hanoh. So says the Ramban, in Pshat, in the Pasuk in Chumash, exactly what the Sefer Chinuch said in terms of the Isurim, that the answer to our question, when is the moment of truth for Zeraya? Mitzad HaGavra, it's placing into the ground. Mitzad HaChevtza, it's when it starts to take root. So you're probably wondering, what does that have to do with the Chushabbos? Is Shabbos the din of the Gavra, or Shabbos the din of the Chevtza? Is this Menchas Chinuch, or this Rashash? And how is this going to impact on the Rambam? So if you think about this for a week, hopefully we'll see from next week, we'll try to put together the pieces of this puzzle to understand this Rambam, to give us a little bit of a better understanding, just what exactly the Lechus Zeraya is, and then see how this takes us to the next step, putting flowers into water, putting love into water, all of the above, which are all extensions of the whole discussion of that.
If everyone could just help, just reset, share, and next week, that'd be greatly appreciated.